then it'll be known that the Lord has truly sent the prophet. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you have given us this time and this place to hear your word. And Lord, we pray today that we would not only hear it, but we would listen and understand and put it into practice. Lord, thank you that your word is unchanging and it is totally true. Lord, help us to trust you and trust your unchanging word. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, dear Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Okay. Well, we have been doing our celebrating this part of the church year that is not the festival part. We ended the festival part with Trinity Sunday, and we're now looking at what is called the teaching time of the church. And we wanted to start out the teaching time by looking at the five, because we have five digits, right? So we can remember this. God has given us this help. Five digits on our hand to remember the five things that are effective ways of being a disciple of Jesus Christ. What was the first one? Learn at the picnic. If you weren't here, I kind of reminded you last week. Seek the kingdom, right? The second one we're going to talk about today is listen to the Lord. The third one is talk to people. Pardon me? Yep, talk to people, even if it hurts. The fourth one is do good, even if it doesn't make sense. And number five, pray. Ministry through prayer. A powerful gift that God has given to us that you don't need a license to do. You have the authority to do this as children of the living God. So when Jesus is sending out his disciples in Matthew chapter 10, he tells them to let people know that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, right? He tells them to seek first the kingdom, and all these other things will take their places in proper order. But then we come to this passage that I think is really interesting because it is from Matthew chapter 10, and he says, "But don't think I have come to bring peace. No, I have come to bring the sword, division." And that's a hard word to hear, isn't it? And yet, how true is it today that when we listen to the Lord, to his word, and it's very contrary to our society, contrary to what our peers might think, contrary to what the social media might say, how many of us understand what it means that the word, when St. Paul said the word of God will be insulting or non-palatable, is actually the word that's used there, to society? How many of us could say, yeah, I understand this? Yes. When you tell people that they can't do what they want to do, how does that work for you? Not very successful, right? If you tell people this is what God says, it's interesting because with the internet, you would think that now we have more knowledge, it would be greater. Instead, you could find almost anybody to agree with you on the internet. I have an article that, if anybody wants it, it's really interesting. It came out in the year 2000, which is 17 years ago already. Isn't that hard to believe? 17 years ago already, the year 2000. When Hannah was born. Hard to imagine. That came out from Focus on the Family. And it talked about the challenge of the absolute truth of Scripture in a time of relativism. And I remember back reading that article so many years ago and thinking to myself, it's got to get better. It's got to get better. We've got TV and radio and internet and all this stuff, all these tools. It's got to get better. And I just read the article again. And it hasn't gotten better. Yeah. But people still seek after their own truth, don't they? When we talk about listening to the Lord, it means not only hearing, but it means understanding. And not only understanding, but putting into practice what we hear and what we listen to and what we understand. And it results almost all the time, even though I've been a Christian now for so many years, I won't tell you how many because that's kind of like a lot, but you know, half a century. And I've been a Christian for half a century. I know that every time you hear the word, listen to it, understand it, and put it into practice, it requires change. How many of us like change? Only babies like change. Sometimes not even that if there's a rash. Found that out. I mean, really, how many of us can honestly say we like change? That's true. Yes, good for laundry. So when we hear Jesus saying this, this is so important. When we hear Jesus saying these words, I'm going to read them since I don't have them up on the screen. You gotta love technology when it works. He says, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." Now, doesn't sound like, you know, it always amazes me, especially in John's gospel from about chapter 5 through to chapter 8, as he's just whittling away at his disciples by telling them all these things that are bothering them. Remember, it's in that passage where he turns around and he says, "Are you still here?" to his disciples. Remember that? It's like, "I've tried everything to get rid of you." It's the opposite of church evangelism. You know, let's just tell you all the terrible things that you're going to go through to see if you're still here. And I always remember Peter saying, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." And here in Matthew 10, it's like, Jesus, you're supposed to be encouraging these guys. You're sending them out like sheep among wolves, and you're telling them ahead of time how hard it's going to be. But isn't that the way God is? Doesn't God honor truth? And would this not be the case when his disciples would tell people the truth, that even among families there would be dissension, there would be division? Towns, villages, synagogues, everywhere they went. Because there are some people that just refuse to change. There are some people who refuse to listen. There are some people who want to do their own thing, their own way, and they're not willing to listen, right? And what does that cause, according to Jesus? Division. Causes division. But when there is people who will hear, who will listen, who will understand, and who will put these into practice, it brings unity. It brings community. And it brings an amazing gift, a place where the love of God can grow and expand, and where people live a totally different life and the world around them. You see, even though it's hard, Carol was praying for a pastor wanting to go to India, and how hard it is to get to some of these places to tell the truth, right? Very few people want to hear it, and it's hard. And I have to be honest with you, there's a lot of times where I back off from sharing my opinion, Isn't that the way it is nowadays? There's no such thing as absolute truth. It's your opinion versus another's opinion, right? And I back away from sharing my opinion and pray that the Lord, this is where the power of prayer is, right? Praying the Lord will open the heart and the mind, the eyes and the ears of the person, so they might be ready to receive my, as what they would say, my opinion. Right? Because that's where the power is. This is an amazing thing. This is one of the things, these five behaviors come out of a book called Joining Jesus on His Mission by a Lutheran pastor friend who lives in San Antonio, Texas. He used to be up at Midland when I first moved here. And he wrote this book, and we studied it in Men's Breakfast. And one of the things that he kept saying is, what we fail to recognize as Christians is that Jesus is on his mission. He's already out doing mission. He is already out drawing people to himself. He's already out doing what he promised. He's out there doing things in the lives of people. They may call it coincidence or luck, but he's already doing things in the lives of people. And when we come alongside of those folks and show them where this stuff is coming from, we join Jesus on his mission. We're not called to go out there and do it on our own. We're called to join him in what he's already doing. And that's why it's so important to listen. To seek with our eyes, but also to listen with our ears so that we can experience and be sensitive to where he's working. Because when we listen to the Lord, we'll find out that there's nothing new under the sun, right? There's nothing that when we confess to Jesus to God what we've done, he goes, oh man, I never heard that before. Right? It's that simple. Everything that's happened has happened before. There's nothing new. And yet there are people out there that think somehow what they have done will cause God to blush. I'm telling you, he knows. And so look at the rewards. It says, whoever receives you receives me. Whoever receives me receives him who sent me. The one who receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives a righteous person because he is a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. Brothers and sisters, we use that lesson from Jeremiah to make a point. There are many people out there that like to tell people what they want to hear. They like to sow to their desires and to what they want. They like to impress people, their peers. They like to impress people, those who are the loudest usually. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you ever met them? They literally changed the word of God to meet the needs of those people. And that's what was happening with Jeremiah. I'll never forget when I did my first gift survey. How many of you have done a spiritual gift survey? Yeah, a few of you. What'd you think about the results? Do you like the results you got? Yeah, some of you. Yeah. They are what they are. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. I'll never forget. I remember when I took the spiritual gift survey, my first one, and I was high on profit. And I wish that was with an F, but it's not. I was high on profit. And I'll never forget thinking to myself, oh no. Because is there a prophet in the Old Testament that doesn't endure persecution? Is there a prophet in the Old Testament, and probably in the New, even though we don't hear much, except for in Acts a little bit, that didn't endure tremendous hatred and persecution and dislike? I remember thinking to myself, there's got to be something wrong here. I don't want to do this. And one of the things that was so funny was we had a pastor when I was growing up, and he liked to talk about the Hananias out there. So I knew about Hananiah very early on because he would talk about, this was back, oh, I'm going to age myself again. This was back in the 70s. He was talking about the Hananias, those who tell people what they want to hear, right? Those who tell people, even though when there's war, there's going to be peace. Even when there's destruction, there's going to be safety, right? They tell people what they want to hear. And he always referenced this. Even when I went through confirmation, he always referenced this because this was one of the most important things to him, was to remind us that when you tell the truth of Scripture, it's, you know, and he said, and what he, what, why this story was so powerful was Jeremiah even says, I wish, I hope, I pray that it's going to be like Hananiah says, right? Don read it for us so eloquently. Isn't that what he said, right? Jeremiah's standing there, and he's just told them, the Lord is going to bring judgment on you. And Hananiah gets up and says, there's going to be peace and prosperity. And all those things that Babylon stole, they're going to bring back in droves. And you're going to, there's going to be an abundance. And you're going to be prosperous. And everything's going to be awesome. Yeah, well. And Jeremiah's standing there, and what is he going to say? He's already said what he said, right? He's not a glutton for punishment. Well, he is, but that's another story. But, you know, what is he going to say? So he's, I just love the way he puts it. He says, well, I pray. I hope. I desire that what you say is true. I pray, I hope, I desire that everything you have said, God has said, will happen. I hope there will be peace. I hope that all the things you've said are going to come back from Babylon will come back and even more. And then he just closes off with this little verse where he says, but the prophet who prophesies peace will be known true if peace happens. That's my translation of the Greek, or the Hebrew there, sorry. Brothers and sisters, it would be so easy to get up here and tell you everything's going to be awesome. Everything's going to be great. That's one of the weaknesses of the, Angela made a really good point. One of the weaknesses of the North American church is that for far too long, we've been, you've heard people tell you, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be great. We're going to prosper. We're going to grow. Do all these things. I'm here to tell you, I pray, oh, I pray that this would be so true. Because I have seen the Lord do amazing things. I have seen the Lord heal people. I have seen the Lord do amazing, awesome miracles. I mean, over and over again, I've seen the Lord grow things where people have been coming from all over. I don't even know why they're there. They just keep being drawn, okay? And I pray that that would happen. I pray that the Lord would do that. I'm praying for the students that are coming to Eastern and to and U of M and to Concordia. I mean, I'm just praying, Lord, to bring them in. Washtenaw, you, any, just bring them in. But the reality is that today, people are much more willing to listen to social media, much more willing to listen to the things they agree with. You know how... I apologize. I meant to print this out, but we were having some things before church, so I can't remember off the top of my head. But do you know how little time people actually spend reading articles? How much time they actually spend looking at a screen? As soon as they see something they don't agree with, what do? Next link. It's seconds, folks. It's seconds. People don't spend any time on a page if they don't agree with it. They just move on. What if what they need to hear is on that page? What if the Lord, what if what the Lord needs to change in them is on that page? Just flip. It's literally seconds. Pardon me? He'll bring it another way. But all I'm saying is we live in a time where it's so important for us to understand that we are to listen to the Lord, to be sensitive to what he's doing. Seek the kingdom. Listen to the Lord. Because he's at work, isn't he? He's at work around us. He's at work in us. And that's why we're going to pray over our high school graduates, because they're going to be going into college. And if you want to know where the battlefield is, there's a reason why we're here. You want to know where the battlefield is? That's where the battlefield is. That's where people who don't want to listen, go because they will hear people who agree with what society's saying, not what the Word of God says. The Word of God is not supposed to be there. The Word of God is not supposed to be allowed there. Because it's a state school. I love that. Anyways. We live in an interesting time, don't we? But I'll tell you something. The Lord must think well of us to put us here at this time in history, don't you think? If Paul Zulig would be here, he'd say, yes! We've had this talk a few times. Because I've said to Paul, I've said, you know, we're here. God must think a lot of us to put us here in this time in history, because it would have been a lot easier to put us here back when people actually looked at the Bible, read the Bible, and believed the Bible, right? Wouldn't it have been a lot easier? Think about the beginning of this country. Think of the beginning of Canada. They called it the Dominion of Canada for a reason. Because guess what? They're reading their Bibles and they realize that God promised to give us dominion. And so they call it the Dominion of Canada. Of course, they've taken that out ever since Trudeau, but that's another point. Now, we're living through the second generation up there, just so you know. But just think about it. This country was founded on the Word. Canada was founded on the Word. European countries on the Word. And God must feel that we have the gifts that He has given us and the ability to be here and be in mission in this time in history. So when He looks at you, He says, you are amazing. I chose to put you here at this time in history because of who you are. Does that get you a little excited? Think about the fact that God has chosen us to put us here at this time in history so we can be the people who seek the kingdom, who listen to the Lord, who talk to people, who do good, and who minister through prayer. Isn't that awesome? God has chosen us for this time in history. Isn't that amazing? I think it is. I think it's an amazing gift. May God truly bless us as we move forward in this gift. Because He will give us what it takes, right? It's His promise. He will provide for us. He will give us what we need. Jesus also goes on to tell them that He will provide for them. That when they get in front of councils and when they get drawn up in front of people, don't worry, the Holy Spirit will tell them what to say. Isn't that awesome? You just forget about the fact that they're being drawn up in front of councils and everything. Concentrate on the fact that He tells them that they'll know what to say. Because that's the power of truth. God has called us to this time in history because He wants us to listen to Him, to come alongside of Him, to join Him on His mission, and to see what His truth can do even today in the lives of people. Amen. At this time, I want to invite Emil and Jake to come forward. And we're going to, we have some cake and stuff that we want you to stay for if you can. Come on in, Ben. And so I have a few questions because these young people are dear to my heart and I want everybody to know what's going on in their lives. So first of all, we'll start with ladies first. Patrick, you got to come up here. Yeah. Come here. Yeah. We were at Patrick's graduation from SEND last week. Okay, cool. So I would like to just take, I'm going to get the amplification device. And I would like you to just tell us where you're going to be going to school, what you're looking forward to, how the Lord's working in your life. Cool. Pass it to Jake. There we go.
I'm Jake. I'm
Awesome. Is there anything that we just tell us where you graduated from? You were home. You were HSC, right? Yeah. Awesome. Thank you. Just high school. What you doing next, and what you graduated with? Awesome. What we would like to do is invite everyone who wishes to come up, and we're going to pray over you and ask the Lord for his gift of knowledge, the fear of the Lord, and his wisdom as you go forth into these new fields. So let's just have you back up onto the there, and anybody who wants to come up and pray, please join us right now. Lord Jesus, we are so thankful for Emil, for Jake, and for Patrick. We thank you, Lord, that they are all your children who seek after your kingdom and who listen to you. Lord, we pray as they go to this new season in life. We thank you for Patrick coming back to us from Indiana. We pray for Jake as he goes to Ohio. And we also pray for Emil as she goes to Hillsdale, Lord, that you would indeed have the right people in place to come alongside of them, to support them. And we pray, Lord, that you would make them your prophets, that you would let them speak your word, that you would let them share your word with people around them so that they would get an opportunity to see people's lives changed and that they would not be deceived by people who want to tickle the ears of the people around them, Lord, but they would hold to your truth, that they would not be like Hananiah and tell people what they want to hear, but they would be like Jeremiah and speak the truth. Lord, we pray for an abundance of your Holy Spirit. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon them and bless them now.
Lord, cover them from that any attacks of the evil one. Just protect them, strengthen their faith, Lord, strengthen their resolve, and let them be shining lights, Lord, of truth and uprightness.
Yes, Lord, thank you, Jesus.
Give them grace, Lord. This is a very trying time, a time where they really are on their own, but you are with them, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
I feel like the Lord would remind each of you that you are on mission. Each of you are on mission.
Yes.
It's his plan and his purpose, which is always for good, but which is also the life of a disciple, faithful to him, following Jesus. I feel like the Lord will say, I will bless you on your mission.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Father, wherever these three go and whatever they do, remind them constantly to keep you first and foremost.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Jesus.
Lord God, we thank you that you have poured out your Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
That your Spirit lives and dwells within each of us, especially at this deep time for the young people as they are launching off into new portions of their life, into new work within them, that they might come to know you better. That they might come to be more like you. Melt them and mold them to be like you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, the point is not so they can be in love. The point is really so that as they walk through this pilgrimage,
mm-hmm.
they have, as Roger was saying, the Holy Spirit. They have the
mm-hmm.
guide, but they need to know too that you love them and the grace of God.
Yes, Lord.
Flow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The truth does not ignite in the hearts and change lives. So Lord, we just pray that that would be the undergirding, and that they would mm-hmm. discover grace in new ways.
Yes, Lord.
Discover how to love in new ways.
Mm-hmm.
So that they would then be, they would be able to have the breastplate of truth and the
mm-hmm.
shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace and the hope.
Yes, Lord. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, Jesus. So, Lord, this is our prayer. That you would fill these, your beloved children, with your Holy Spirit. That you would allow them the power to put on your armor. That you would give them your truth. But more importantly, you would give them your truth with a heart and the knowledge of your love and grace. Lord, guide their path. Give them your strength and boldness. Give them your courage, your love, and your peace. And most importantly, let them walk in your power. We ask this all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Oh, oh. Oh, careful. That's fine. Yeah, that's okay. It's fine. Please join us for cake afterwards because we're going to celebrate this new step in the journey. Oh. Thank you, Bruce. Mm-hmm. And I'm thankful for Don's prayer because one of the things when we run out of time is that I forget in my message and when my slides don't work. I forget the point, as I mentioned before, about Jeremiah and Hananiah and the fact that when the prophet speaks, one of the things that's always amazing is the Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit, often through love and the grace that he has won for us, changes hearts. The word does not return empty because it reaches hearts that are prepared to hear. And so I don't know if I made that point when, but it's so important to understand that when we are faithful to share the truth, God is at work preparing hearts. And when we listen to the Lord and when we hear what he has to say and when we're sensitive to the kingdom, we'll find those people of peace whom he's prepared the soil and they're going to be ready. And it will not be, because without that love, without the power of the Holy Spirit, without that preparation, it's just law. It's just law. And law does not motivate nor change people. So, with that, let us stand as we pray and ask for the Lord's blessing as we go forth in his name. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this time that you've given to us.